Hey guys, this is Chris Dawson.
And this is Russell Dilday here at Cow Horse Full Contact.
We got Mark Michaels from Performance Horse Central backing us up with the electronics board and all the technological side of this thing. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
This episode is brought to you by Santa Cruz Animal Health. They are here to cover all your animal needs.
Check them out at scahealth.com or visit their retail locations in Weatherford, Texas and Paso Robles, California.
That's why I could never do the acting gig because they make you do it over and over and over again. And I'm like, the first one is the best one.
Yeah, this is getting worse.
That, yeah, it's bad.
What is wrong with you? Just clip it, man. Let's go on. That's all I got.
Yeah, that was fun trying to do that one a second time.
You took it all out of me.
Hey, so we had a little acting, too. We had a little cameo on the old Yellowstone.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't have to talk.
What about running that cow up under them guys?
So Taylor writes us a scene. He tells me he's going to do this. He goes, I'm going to write you all a cow horse scene. And so me and Corey, Kelby, Avila, Tracer. And Tracer, we go up to Heber City. They film a lot in Utah. And we're doing this scene, and we're like in this, basically it's like we're in this, at a horse show or whatnot, because we're inside a coliseum there, and they're there to watch because they want to get into the horse show world, and so they're looking at prospects and horses and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, they're talking, and then we're kind of in the background, and we're running cows down the fence, okay? And so we're all just taking turns of making a fence run, and then they're filming, like, we're kind of coming at them. The cameras, well, the cameras were all over the place, but one of the main cameras was, so we're coming down the fence at them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've got Rip and Jimmy sitting on the fence, like just around the corner.
Right past the 2-point marker.
Right, basically. Yeah, about maybe the 2-point right marker. They're at the 2-point marker. So just give you a reference of where they're sitting. And so we're supposed to run cows down that fence and turn them and, you know, do the whole deal and circle up and everything. And so I think Corey goes and then Kelby goes and it's my turn to go next. And the director, he comes out and he's like, hey, wait a sec. And he comes out and he's like, hey guys, he's like, you're doing awesome. He's like, it looks really good. But he said, could you all run those cows just a little further down the fence before you turn them? And he goes, I know it's cows, I know it's horses, but just do your best and see if you can just bring them down the fence a little bit further. Because he just wanted it closer to the camera and whatnot. And I'm next to go. So I'm like, okay, yeah, just do the best you can. So I go down there and I box my cow and I come rolling down that wall. And, you know, you just get that feel and, you know, okay, I need to start making my move and I need to start moving up. And then in my mind, I'm like, he wants us to go further, so I just hold up just a little bit. Well, you know what happens then. I hold up just that little bit. Well, now my horse gets tight, and now the cow's coming to me, and we go around, and I turn it right at the 2-point mark, which is where Jimmy right and Rip
are sitting on the top rail with their legs in the arena.
Yeah, with their feet in the arena. They're sitting on the top rail, and I mean, like, my horse's head is
clipping them,
and I turn it right there, and I don't really see them because I'm watching the cow, but they said they're all but like diving off the fence, like feet are coming up and, you know, heads turning and everything. And I remember, though, right as I did that and just as I'm coming out of my turn, I go, is that close enough? And I just go right back at the cow, and I finish my run, and I immediately go over there, and they're off the fence now, and everybody's like clapping and hooping and hollering. And I go right over to Rip and Jimmy, and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to try and knock you guys out. And they're laughing, and they're like, no, dude, that was the best. That was the most fun we've had all day. That was so cool. And the cameramen are loving it. They're, like, high-fiving, but they're at the same time, they're cleaning their cameras and stuff because I threw dirt all over those cameras and stuff. But it turned out in the movie pretty good. But, yeah, that was the highlight of our day there. That was pretty fun. But I tell you what, it convinced me I don't want to get into the acting deal We spent all day filming this deal. And when it
comes out,
it was like 2.5 minutes click. Long. and you just, it's so much sitting around and waiting and then doing something and then doing it again and again and again and again and again and then sitting around waiting. And, you know, it's just because they got to change camera angles and change the lighting and change the people. And, you know, there's so much to it. I've done a couple other TV deals and stuff like that. So I experienced it a little bit, but man, it's a lot of sitting
so
around.
So much for so little. Yeah,
but pretty cool to see it all and how they do it. You know, it's pretty impressive. There are a lot of people though. A lot of people to do that. There's one guy that he's the tape guy, and he runs around and he's got this tool belt on, and it's just filled with different colors, different shapes of tape. But he runs around, and like when the director is trying to set up a scene, he'll be like, okay, I want to have one camera there. That guy puts tape down, certain color. And then I want to have a light there, and he puts tape down. And then I want, you know, this actor to stand here and puts tape there. And then so then everybody gets to their marks where the tape is, you know, and then they get it all set up and everything. And then he looks at it and he's like, nah, let's move that, you know. But this guy, he just runs around with tape and that's all he does. One guy. But it was quite the deal. It was a pretty cool experience. We got there the night before, get there with the horses and everything because we brought our own horses. And this place is a ghost town. And this is a big facility. I don't know if you've been to that Heber City deal, but I mean, they got a big indoor coliseum. They have a big, huge outdoor rodeo arena.
Just for movies?
No. They have rodeos there. And, okay. Well, one of the contender series for the American was in Heber City. They have a big outdoor rodeo there. But tons of stalls and all this kind of stuff. Anyways, we pull in there. It's a ghost town. There is nobody there. And we're like, aren't we supposed to film here tomorrow morning? You know, we're like, we're all a little confused. And anyways, somebody shows up, shows us where to go and everything. And then they just contact you by email. And they're like, be here at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. We come back from the hotel and we pull in there. This place, I mean, it looks like maybe there's a rock concert going to go on there or something. I mean, there is people everywhere. The parking lot is filled. There's a guy out there directing traffic with these lights, you know, like the airplane people do. Wow. There are trailers everywhere. And when I say trailers, like one trailer might be for sitting inside and eating. The other, they've got a whole food court. I mean, there's all these food trailers there. Like, you can get any food that you want. Makeup trailers, sound stages. It's complete chaos. And there was nobody there the night before.
Mm.
But they were just down the road filming another scene. And then they just packed it all up in the morning and went. But, I mean, hundreds of people. And then all the extras that they need for the scene. You know, they always put out, you know, a deal to get people just from the local area to be an extra to come in. And because we just needed people in the stands to look like there was something going on there, you know. And they're very efficient. Everybody knows their job, and there is a guy for everything. There's a guy that just runs water to everybody. Seriously, there's just somebody for everything. The most interesting part that I never even thought about though was all the actors have stand-ins, and a stand-in is they usually get somebody who kind of looks like that actor or is kind of the same height as them or whatnot, because their job is when they're setting up a scene to film, they got to get all the cameras and the lights and the bounces, you know, that reflect the light and the sound, just all the stuff that you need to film the scene, but they got to get it all set up and just right before they film it, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say they were filming us sitting here talking. Well, they need people to be sitting here so they can get the light right. Well, every actor's got their stand-in, and they're the ones that sit there while they're setting all of this up so that the camera can get the the color just right and the lighting just right and everything. And so they might sit there for 45 minutes to an hour while they're setting all this up. And that is their job. And that's it. They just sit there. And the guy that has been Kevin Costner's, this is what they told us anyways. The guy that was Kevin Costner's stand-in, they said it's been Kevin Costner's stand-in his whole career.
Really?
Like for all the movies he's ever done.
So the actor brings him.
Well, I don't know that for sure. I don't know that, but every time they changed it to film another scene, the stand-ins would come and stand on their piece of tape that the guy put down. And they might have to stand there. Sometimes they're sitting, but they might have to stand there while they set all this up. And that's what they do. And then when they're like, okay, we're ready, they go to sit down, and then here come the actors, and then they go to that spot. And that dude that was Kevin Costner's looks just like Kevin Costner, and he actually dressed just like him that day. I don't know if he does that every time. But, like, they were standing back with their backs to us. You couldn't tell which one was which. I mean, I found that very interesting that, and I never really thought about that, you know, but when they're filming something, they got to get it all to look just right before they, because you know, you're not going to put the actor in there and go, ah, no, wait a sec, the light's not good, you know, and, you know, they get all of that done. And so then they come in and they kind of go over their lines for a sec and then boom, then they shoot it. And he's sitting back there looking at it through the monitor so he sees what it looks like, you know, how it's going to be produced and stuff. And it's pretty interesting, really, how they do all that stuff. And but it is a lot of work for a little bit of film. A lot of work. but pretty cool. It was a fun experience for sure. Yeah, it was fun.
What was it like announcing at the
American?
Yeah.
So I've commentated many times, you know.
Yeah.
But they told me some of the guys that have done it, such as Brendan and Katie and stuff, they said, you're going to be down there in it. Cause I was down there right by the arena, right? I wasn't sitting up above. I was right down there by the arena, and I was pretty excited to go do it. You know, I thought this is going to be really cool cause it was CBS Sports and you know, this is big time. And I get to do it with Donna Brothers. That's who they paired me up with. And I mean, she's a legend, you know, and so I was a little nervous with all that and everything. And so, but they warned me, the people, they're like, it's going to be loud down there. It's going to be hard to hear. And I'm like, okay, that's good. But they give you these ear deals that you put in your ears. And then we tried earphones like what we've got on now, noise canceling and whatnot, because they're commentating up there in the booth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would send it down to us to get our take on things. So there's a director that is, and I didn't really realize all this, but there's a director that's directing all of this, right? He's directing the show. So he would be like, okay, we're coming on in 3, 2, 1. Okay, Katie, go. And so then Katie would start talking and then Brendan and Steve and go back like that. And then they would shoot it down to me. But the whole time you can hear all of this in your earpieces. You can hear the director saying stuff, and he might talk like while they're talking.
Oh, wow.
So you can hear them commentating, and then he might talk, and he'd be like, okay, Todd, it's coming to you in 3, 2, you know, whatever. And then they would send it to me or Donna, and I'm like, the first little bit, I was just like, oh, I was like, there's too much going on in my head. I thought I just had to talk about what I know, you know, and it was hard. It was really hard. Like, I had trouble with it, and I messed up a few times and spoke when I wasn't supposed to speak, and the director's like, you can't talk right now. Don't do that. And I'm like, oh, sorry. And you know, but anyways, it was a very cool experience. But it was being down there. I think if I would have been up in the booth, I would have been just fine. But being down there where you're listening to them and then they send it to you and then you immediately got to, you know, you're put on the spot, right? Just boom.
Right now.
And now you've got to throw your twist on it and you just got just a little bit to say a few things and then it's back to them and then it's, to, you know, and I apologized to everybody afterwards. I was like, I'm sorry. I feel like I really messed all that up pretty bad. But it was chaotic. And it's so loud. Even with all that stuff in your ears, you know, I got somebody standing right next to me screaming, you know, cheering. And so you got that. And it was...
A lot of energy.
It was a lot, yeah. And I don't know that I did a great job, but I would do it again. You know, I for sure would do it again. Maybe if I could sit up in the booth, though. I felt a little out of my element down there, you know. But that whole experience, that whole American deal was cool because, you know, obviously Teton Ridge put it on, but us out here at TR9 and a lot of other people, but just the structure of it and how it was all going to go down and stuff. We were a big part of a lot of that, you know, me and Corey and Andrea and John Stanislaw, and we had many a meetings on, you know, just how it was going to work and how it was going to go. And so that was pretty cool to be a part of that, you know, because it was a first time, nobody had ever done anything like that, and to be in there and being a part of the American and at Globe Life Field and everything, it was a really cool experience, and I'm glad I was able to be a part of it and help out with it. You know, I don't know that I did a ton, but I, you know, they definitely, when they were putting it all together, wanted our input for how it should work, because they knew that we were in there and doing it, you know. And so, you know, what's it going to take? You know, mm-hmm. how should it be set up? You know, what do y'all think we should do here? And so, you know, to have some input on an event like that for the first time that's ever been happening, hopefully it goes on for years to come. That was pretty cool, you know. And then and to be in the planning stages of it and trying to put it all together, and you don't know how it's going to go, and then to see it go down, and it turned out pretty cool. Yeah. I thought it was a very cool experience.
When you have Sheryl Crow singing for your drag, it's a level. I mean, she's one of my favorites of all time. This is crazy.
Yeah.
The cow horse, Sheryl Crow singing for the drag. Yeah. When is this? This was not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
I couldn't even dream this.
So
and then Darius Rucker at the end with the full concert.
Yeah. So, you know, I had never made it out to Globe Life Field. There was a couple times that some of the guys went and stuff, but I was never able to go out there. But, you know, I saw all the renderings. I saw all the videos. I saw how the arena was going to be set up, you know, just like I said, from drawings and renderings and things like that. And knew what was going to happen and knew what was going to go on. And I knew all of that. And still, when I walked in there the first day, I was like, whoa, this is unbelievable. And I think everybody was. I think everybody was taken back and was just like, wow, this is something else, you know. And I can tell you, collectively as a group, we were all nervous, you know. We were all like, I hope we pull this off. I hope this goes down like we all think it should, you know. But some of the people that worked on it, you know, above us and put it together, and I mean, they're just first class and just a whole nether world and a whole nether level that the horse show world has never seen. And that was our goal. For sure, that was the goal of all of that, mm-hmm. was just to take it to that next level, you know. And I think they pulled it off. And, I can remember when I first walked down in there, we had a little meeting beforehand at a restaurant, and then we drove over there the day before, and I just walked in there, and I was like, wow.
It was beyond impressive to walk in there.
And then to have, I think they said the final count was around 17,000 people in there, you know. I mean, when has anybody ever showed to 17,000 people?
You know, what was funny was I had some people up that watched it on the live stream or on television. Like, what, didn't look like there's any people?
Whoa. And I got that too, but it was just the camera angle.
Yeah.
You know, because they were shooting across the arena there, and like at that buck and shoot end, what people didn't realize is those seats at that Buck and Shoot Inn, well, you don't want to sit there, and they didn't even sell tickets to there, you know. And we've talked about that since then, because we've had some meetings about it since then and stuff. But I got the same thing. I was like, wow, it looked kind of empty. And I'm like, there was 17,000 people there, you know.
Have been there.
I said, do you know how big? Yeah, do you know how big that deal is?
And beyond that, it's 17,000 people, and there's so many people that have never seen one of those events
before. That was the goal.
Yeah,
that was the goal.
That was the incredible thing to me. Is
and that was the goal, and that's why
whole new level.
You throw the concerts in with it.
Yep.
Because the concert are going to draw this crowd. Oh, let's go see a horse show or a rodeo, you know. But really, in all reality, they came for the music,
right?
You know, but now you expose them to something else.
But that was the goal: expose them and let the rest of the world see.
Well, it's been tried,
yeah,
but it's never gotten pulled off,
right? No. But nobody's had the means or the idea or the people to do it to that degree,
or the fortitude.
Yeah,
it reminded me of the old days when long time ago when we started, and there was a horse show, cow horse show, at all the fairs on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And there's people that just were walking by the arena that have no idea.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of the Mag 7.
Yeah.
You reached out to people that had never seen it, and they were excited. And it created new owners, new riders, new everything.
Yeah, and so like, the rodeo crowd, we wanted to draw them too, right? Yep. And even the rodeo contestants. And so, like, we did a little deal, like, if you're in the rodeo, you get in free. Come on, come watch it. And like I said, I got to meet a lot of the rodeo people, and TR9, we've got some of the barrel racers that are ambassadors for TR9 and stuff, so I got to meet all them. I'd met some of them already, but we had a little luncheon beforehand and stuff. And so we were like, are you guys coming? And they're like, hell yeah.
Did Haley have her teeth in?
she actually wasn't there for that.
No, she wasn't.
But they're like, heck yeah, we're going. You know, we want to see. Because, you know, just like us, they're so busy and going down the road, you know, they don't have time. And they know about it and all that, but they hadn't gotten to see it. And they loved it. They thought it was pretty incredible. So, yeah, it was a cool experience, and I thought it went off pretty dang good,
pretty phenomenal.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad we had two mornings to go in there and ride, because that first morning, like you say, you're just, I mean, it's empty in there, right? But it was just it was overwhelming. Just walking down there,
yeah.
Like, didn't anybody really get much done? We all galloped around a little bit or whatever. Second morning, we got a little more horse training.
Yeah.
Hey, so the other day, Travis came over and sold me some Globe Life insurance. Sold my wife some Globe Life insurance. And he's a pretty good salesman. But I don't know if he's as good as my wife. Because now he's sponsoring the podcast and he bought a whole bunch of meat.
Good job, Trav. Well, the good news is that it's a heck of a good product that he's selling.
Yeah, really good. Superb. And I put the boys on it because they don't really have a ton of insurance, and if I go down, Tana can do all the work.
She does anyway.
Whatever. Ease up. You're ruining my stature. Take away my figurehead status. But like, so Colt, like, in them,
if she gets hurt when she goes and does her Navy SEAL training, this is
gonna paid.
You're gonna get paid. That's outstanding. But they didn't pay you anything for your tooth.
I was a little they didn't. The timing was bad. I knocked it out before I got it. That's just like your employee.
Yeah,
Get it.
Stefan didn't get it. He had the option to get it, didn't get it, got hurt 2 weeks out.
And now,
had to haul some extra horses to Arizona. Well, you guys check them out. You can find them at thomasagencies.com and also at globelifeinsurance.com. So check that out. Talk to Travis or Linda. And, it's darn sure.
It's not just injury either.
No.
It's for
sickness, cancer, all of it. Yep. There's just a list there, and you get to look at the prices, how much you get paid back, and then the beauty is if you go 20 or 25 years and you don't have anything wrong, they give you all the money back that you paid.
All of it.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
It's like
right
a savings
there.
Account.
Yep. Yep. Beautiful savings
account. So it's great if you're accident prone and also great if you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Double.
That's a win-win.
I know. Yeah. So hook it up with them. Call Travis. For sure.
And yeah, and it pays on top of your insurance.
Yeah, that just what you have, you just can have you. The greatest insurance in the world, still get it. It still pays more on top. It's irrelevant what you're already getting.
Well, you guys check them out. You can find them at thomasagencies.com and also at globelifeinsurance.com.
So what about TR9? Mm-hmm. What can you tell people who don't know?
So TR9 is owned by Teton Ridge, and Teton Ridge owns a lot of different things, but it's the brainchild of Thomas Toll, and he really became really wanted to, I guess he just became intrigued and fell in love with the Western way of life. And the more he researched it and got into it and stuff, he really wanted to do things to help promote the Western way of life. So they've gotten involved in a lot of different aspects. But one of the things that he wanted to do was create this, what we call TR9 here, but create this horse and training facility that was like nothing else. And, you know, so they've gone and bought the ranch here and completely renovated it, built onto it, added it. And he wanted to have several trainers there training his horses along with other horses. But we're also going to, do a lot for like the whole just Western industry, whatever we can do, whether it's clinics or seminars or, you know, Western experience or whatever. So at the ranch here, we plan on doing a lot of training, horse training, but we're going to do a lot of other things like that. So we're going to have a lot of things going on. We're going to be doing a lot of social media stuff, probably some podcasts like this and things like that. But just to promote it and hopefully make it a lucrative way of life, you know, to get it out. And that was the big part of the American Horseman, you know, just what we talked about, letting the other world, part of the world see it. People that didn't know this even existed, let them right. see it and become, fall in love with it. And that's what he did. He just fell in love with all this stuff. And so he just feels like anything that we can do to promote it and get it out there and let people see it and hopefully bring more people into it, hopefully, which brings more money into it, which hopefully makes it stronger and bigger and more people want to do it and more people can make a living doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from the, you know, Western horse industry to cattle, you know, to farming, to anything that, you know, is connected to it. He wants to help promote it. And so when he got it going, he collected up a few of us and he'd kind of done his homework and kind of knew some of the guys that he wanted and wanted to be a part of it. And yeah, so it's just getting going. You know, everybody's like, well, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? What's this all about and everything? But, it, you know, really the ranch here where we're training at and got broodmares and babies and, you know, horses coming up, that really only, the doors really only opened to that less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. It was about July of last year that kind of started, you know, moving in there and getting some horses in there and get it going. So it's just getting going, you know, and because a lot of people are like, well, what's this all about? We don't get it. What are you guys doing? You aren't doing anything. But it's just getting going, you know. It's a new deal. It's a new venture. So nobody knows how it's supposed to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of learning as we're going. But those are just some of the ideas and some of the things that we're looking at and want to do. Hopefully producing a lot of good horses. They've bought, you know, a couple of big name studs and bought some great brood mares and some great younger horses that are coming up. And so hopefully we can start, you know, providing the public. We're, you know, we'll sell some of them for sure, you know, providing good horses for other people, us having good horses to show, you know, so trying to promote the industry in that way also, you know, producing some horses. And that's kind of what we're been brought in for, is to help, you know, get all that going and help with that and keep it, you know, lined out and going the right way. And
so your clinics, are you in your, maybe you haven't structured it.
Yeah, yet. We haven't really got it all. These are just ideas of things that we want to do and what we want to use the facility for.
Oh, so more of the thought, more of having them there.
Yeah.
At TR9.
Yeah. Yeah. Using the ranch for those things. And that's kind of why I bought that ranch. And, you know, it's a full blown cattle operation also, mm-hmm. you know, so it's a full blown cattle operation over there. And, you know, so that's a part of the Western way of life also, cattle, you know. It's great for us that are training because mm-hmm. we have access to them all, but it is a big part of the business side of it, you know, having those cattle.
The root.
Yeah.
It's so, the root of it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, those are just some of the ideas that we have, you know, like I said, we're just kind of getting all of that going. But we want to try and get it out as much as we can, you know, we've got ideas of like, let's say we put on a little clinic over there, we have some people come or whatever, you know, hopefully videotape it all and have it out there for, you know, people to watch or, you know, just different things like that, you know, and, you know, that we've got a lot of ideas of things that we want to do that, but yeah, we want to try and do a lot of it there at the ranch, you know, just like talking about the high school rodeo kids. I'm doing a deal for the Oregon kids. Anybody who qualifies in the cutting or the cow horse, granted, it's a little bit out of the way, but the finals are in Gillette, Wyoming, but I've offered them, if you want to come here that week before and get tuned right up, on. Come yeah. on, free of charge. You just get yourself here, you know, so just to do things like that for kids and, you know, just stuff like that's what we want to do, you know, because kids are the future. Get them hooked, get them wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's more people going and doing it, you know, yeah. So that's just kind of the goal of it all. And but like I say, it's everybody's to me a little impatient because they're like, well, what's going on? You guys aren't doing anything. Well, we're just getting going here, guys. You know, we're just getting it all.
I think they're doing quite a bit.
Yeah, we're just getting it all put together. And so, like I say, it's a new deal for everybody. Nobody really knows how this is supposed to go, right? I mean, nobody's ever really done anything like that. But Thomas's goal, like with the ranch here, TR9, was to have somewhere where all of this could happen, right? You know, you can have people there to ride. You could put on a clinic. You could put on a show. You could put on
a base.
Yeah, whatever. But we've got this to do that with.
Yep.
You know, if we want to film some stuff, or we want to do some podcasts, or we want to, you know, have a guest come in and, you know, whatever, we've got somewhere where we can do all of that, you know.
So on the day-to-day basis, how many of you are there and what goes on?
So right now, me and Corey Cushing are the only ones training there. Spud was with us for a while, and then he decided he wanted to move on. He thought he wanted to be a part of it, and then he decided he didn't want to be a part of it. So he moved on. So right now it's just me and Corey there training. So on a day-to-day basis, me and Corey are just basically running our businesses there, training horses. But there are a lot of people there because we have a lot of horses there. We've got a lot of babies hit the ground, a lot of yearlings, and that's just going to be more and more each year. So we have, you know, several girls there taking care of those horses, and you know, there's going to be a lot of yearlings that get fitted up for the sales. So they'll be busy doing that. We've got, you know, Seth and his crew taking care of the cattle, mm-hmm. taking care of that whole side of that. So they're there a lot doing that. And we've got a barn for them, and they can keep their horses there and trailers and all that. And so they're in and out of there every day. You know, you've got an office staff with John and Allison, and you know, they were keeping all that stuff rolling and going, and, you know, all your workers. And so it's pretty busy over there every day, and I think it's just going to get busier. The goal, we've got what we call ambassadors, and they're people who are a part of the TR9 team, which is myself and Corey and Andrea Fapani. Mm-hmm. And he rides some Rainers for Teton Ridge also, because Teton Ridge owns several show horses right now, and we all show some horses for them also. Hoping to get a cutting horse trainer back in there and working there at the ranch. Mm-hmm. We just haven't found that person yet, who's going to replace Spud. And then, like in the barrel racing, we've got Sherry Servey and Brittany Posey Tanazi, Haley Kinzel, and Lisa Lockhart. And they all have some horses that Teton Ridge owns, that they've bought for them, to go, you know,
go run,
to go do their deal, you know. And then they're, you know, they'll help us out when we get to doing some of this other stuff, you know. They'll be there, and, you know, we've got ideas of collaborating with all of them and all of us, and, you know, yeah, just putting a whole big deal together and just talking training, or us swapping horses and them riding a cow horse and us running a barrel horse, and, you know, just different fun things like that, just getting all the ambassadors together and doing some things like that, you know. So we'll have a lot of social media things going out, like YouTube and Instagram and web page, you know, just all that stuff, you know, just getting it out and getting followers, getting people that want to be fans of it and do it, and hopefully get more and more people interested in it. And
don't forget the Teton Ridge Plus app.
The Teton Ridge Plus app. Good job.
Check
good
that
job
out. Yeah. Yep. Get that downloaded. Yeah.
And that's going to be a big part of it. And you'll be able to find a lot of it there. Thanks, Chris. You're better
once
than me.
Once it's established, I was thinking that once it's established, it's an avenue to go with clinics, training, mm-hmm, social media, mm-hmm, events, the high school, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
For television exposure at,
yep,
home-owned prices.
Right.
Like, because you guys have set up. And then I'm thinking, too, when you run down the list, it's kind of the top end of all the disciplines, mm-hmm, especially once you fill the cutter in. So then you go and win on Teton Ridge horses in those disciplines, and you create the prestige, mm-hmm, that's like, hey, these guys are creating,
yeah,
the right kind of horses.
Right. And that's what his Thomas's goal really was. He wants this to be the like the epicenter of all of that, you know, and people want to go there and they want to know what's, you know, but have the doors open and people can come in and experience it and see it or be a part of it, or, you know, whatever it's going
to
be.
Well, and then also it brings a little bit back to the days of Bob Avila, where you create, you expand and get better at the events by having a broader vision. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing all these different disciplines, mm-hmm, together, and you're opening everyone's mind to evolve each event.
Sure.
Like, you have the barrel racers helping with the cutters, with the, yeah, reiners, with the cow, yeah, horses. It's all, it no, opens you all up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to when we get to start doing all this stuff, because I think it'll be a ton of fun for us.
Right.
You know, but like you said, it'll be super informative to the outside world and to new people wanting to get into it, and, you know, just taking a different approach at it. And I just think we have a lot to offer to people, not just in tips or clinics or whatever you want to call it, but just I just think we have a lot to offer to everybody in just the experience of what we do, you know, and how cool it is, and then the stories about the horses and the people, and, you know, and just letting the outside world in on all that stuff, you know. And I think when people start to experience that and see it, I think they'll have a they'll look at it in a different way.
Well, and two, Yellowstone is proving to us mm-hmm. that the outside world is ready mm-hmm. for some grassroots mm-hmm. lifestyle. Like, they don't even know it exists. So then you have Yellowstone going to the top of the mm-hmm. charts in all the in the world of Hollywood. And now the people are like, yeah, that's a cool show and stuff. But wait a minute, those people still live.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just fictional.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Right.
And we don't have to just hit one event. We could like the Bell Race, and we could like Cut and Rain and or Cow Horse or whatever.
It's the Western way of life.
All you of know, it.
Just get people to see it. Just see that world is out there, you know.
And it's pure.
And become fans of it, yeah. And that's the whole goal. And I think in a same sense, I think Taylor's Sheridan, you know, Yellowstone and everything that he's doing, I think is kind of on the same lines, or I think he has a lot of the same goals and ideas and visions, and, you know, get it out there, let people see it. Let's bring everybody in instead of our little small circle that we we kick around for year after year, you know. Let's get other people in here and let them see this world, because it's pretty cool.
The PBR has already proven to us that it'll work.
Yeah, yeah.
They've already proven it. And this is maybe even a more accessible world, because in the PBR, how many people are really going to be a bull rider?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're
it's
only
purely other, entertainment, yeah.
It's viewable. This, it's viewable and it's entertainment. Plus, you could own a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could even do it,
mm-hmm.
just like you did in the 4-H world. It's it's out there. Once you expose it to them, they'll go seek it out.
Yeah. I mean, myself growing up, I didn't even know what a horse was, you know?
Right.
You know, I'd never even seen one or petted one until I was about fourth grade.
Yeah. So, well, that being said, I think we're going to wrap this up. But Todd, thank you so much for sharing so much of your night and early morning.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been real fun.
We'll think of some more stuff.
There we go.
Right. We'll have to be continued this 6-hour episode.
Yeah.
So that phenomenal episode was brought to you by Santa Cruz Animal Health.
Check them out online at scahealth.com or check out their retail locations, Weatherford, Texas, and Paso Robles, California. All right, guys. Well, till next time, go fast. Make good decisions.